Randy, thank you. Thank you. On Farm Talk, we talk about agronomy a whole bunch because there's a whole bunch of agronomy out there. Because even, you know, corn and soybeans, we feed those to livestock. In the southern plains, there's a lot of wheat that gets fed to livestock. But agronomy is involved in raising feed, which we feed to the cows. So we do talk about agronomy a lot, but we don't talk often enough about feeding the cows, which is what a lot of people get up and do every morning and then do it again before the day is done. So let's talk about feeding the cows with North Dakota State University Extension Livestock Stewardship Specialist, Dr. Gerald Stocka. Hello, Jerry.
Hello, Mick. Good to hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're coming through fine for now.
Okay, let me switch it over if I could, Mick. I hate to lose you or anything like that, so let me go here.
All right.
Here.
Does this work better?
Hey, yeah, it is pretty good. It is a little improved.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, let's just stay here then.
Oh, yeah, did you get new Bluetooth for Christmas earlier or what?
It's the same old Bluetooth, but
okay.
Sometimes I'm in locations that doesn't always have the clearest signal. But this will work.
All right, life in the rural Dakotas for sure. So, well,
absolutely.
This being a fall of it's drier than a son of a gun out there in some places this fall, and maybe the last cutting or some of the hay that we're about to feed to the cows is maybe not as good as it should, and we've got some thin cows this fall. So, let's talk about. I guess what's more important, analyze the hay or analyze the cows?
Well, I guess, you know, this is the great thing about agriculture and about livestock systems. You got to do both, right, Mick? You can't focus on just one thing. You focus on just one thing, you usually get in trouble because something else kind of drives off the rails. So you have to do both. You have to look at your cows. And sometimes it actually helps to have somebody else look at them instead of just you, because you see them every day and you don't necessarily see the changes that may have occurred over a period of time. And so what we're talking about is not just looking at them and being friends with them, but actually looking at how much fat cover they're carrying. And, of course, we do that when what we call body condition scoring, or BCS. And so we use a number system, 1 through 9, with 9 being extremely obese. And 1 being very, very skinny to the point of barely surviving. And so we want our cows to be somewhere in that, certainly that 4, 4.5, 5, 6 range. And it just, it's not a difficult task to do. Anytime you see the backbone of a cow, she's too thin. She really is. And if you look at, or even like the hip area with what we call the hooks and the pins, that's part of the pelvic apparatus. But when you can see those bones sticking out, or certainly if you can see the ribs, you know, then those cows are not in very good shape, and they're going to need a little extra feed. And, you know, of course, we'd like for those cows not to get really thin. And of course, that's another topic for another day. That's genetic selection issues in some cases. But sometimes it's just cows that maybe they're a little bit old, maybe they're really young and still growing. Maybe they produce a lot of milk and just couldn't keep up with milk production and growing at the same time. And those are the ones that are going to be susceptible to being thin. So body condition scoring is important. A lot of times your veterinarian can do it when he's out there preg chicken. So it can be done, and then you've got another decision to make. How do I feed these cows to try and put a little extra weight on?
Now, but cult and those that are way too thin, or, hey, she was a good one for quite a few years, but she's done us proud, but now she's a cull cow.
Right.
It's important because you're going to lower the genetic quality of the herd, aren't you? Especially with a cow that might be a skinny beyond what she should be.
Yeah.
And then the feed that might be questionable as we head into a dry winter.
Well, it could be, and I guess that's maybe the next topic is to it is very sound stewardship responsibility. You know what your feed is. You know, are you going to feed forages that you've harvested? Is it first, second, third cutting alfalfa? Probably not too many got third cuttings this year. But it doesn't take a whole lot of time, and your extension agents can actually help with this. Most of our extension agents have what we call a hay probe, and they can go out and probe into big round bales. That's usually what occurs today. It might be a little harder if you got a hay stack, like the old-fashioned way. But take a hay probe and take a sample and send it in for an analysis. And it's not terrible. In fact, Mick, we just did that today. We probed several bales of hay that we're going to feed to some calves. And to give us an idea of what the quality is like. And we look at crude protein, and that's the big one for me, is crude protein. Gives me an idea if this is pretty good forage or not. If it's really low in protein, then you're probably going to have to supply a little bit extra protein. You know, for example, let's take a – so we got cows out of grazing corn right now, and I don't know exactly what the protein is out there, but maybe it's 7%, okay? And a cow doesn't eat percentages necessarily, but she requires a certain pound of protein per head per day. Mm-hmm. So, for example, let's just say she requires 2.5 pounds of protein in a day. If she eats 30 pounds of a 7%, that's only 2.1 pounds, so she's not meeting her protein requirement. So if you provide a little protein supplement, and that can come in many different forms, it can be in corn distillers, it can be some other higher protein source, even alfalfa hay, the beauty of that is the cows will eat more because they digest more of it more rapidly than if they don't have the protein, and then they can eat enough to bring that protein, meet that protein requirement that allows us to eat more and actually gain more energy. So they have an amazing system. We just need to know how to manage that system. And so undoubtedly there may be some hays this winter now when we've got, there may be some low protein feeds, and we need to know which ones they are. And of course your cows kind of tell you that too. This is animal husbandry. They kind of complain to you a little bit if things aren't the way they're supposed to be. And so just kind of monitoring behavior is a helpful hint too, but also knowing what the condition score of those cows in and knowing where your hay is forage quality wise is a big step. I will say this, you know, here we are at the end of December and we don't have any snow on the ground, and that's beautiful. And we haven't had a lot of cold weather, and that's beautiful too, because you can actually put some weight on these cows with the right feeds if they're really thin. Now, if you got a certain percentage or young cows are really thin, you may need to sort them off and put them in a different group and feed them differently. So there's ways to manage this thing to make those cows kind of catch up, if you will.
Yeah, seize the opportunity that is presenting itself here with this.
That's exactly right.
Warmer weather. Yep. For the people who sit at the breakfast table reading the back of the cereal box over and over again, there's all kinds of dietary nutritional information on the back of the boxes and containers and cans of all the food that we eat. I guess we should know as much about the food that we're giving the livestock.
Yeah, and sometimes I think we're ahead of the human side, actually, because we generally speaking kind of know, but the nice thing about actually taking some samples, then you do really know, and you can target the amount they're going to eat. And like in a calf population, for example, we can kind of target what we want for weight gain and then use those nutrients that we now know what's included in those feedstuffs that we're going to use to hit that target weight. So it's a much better way of managing rather than just by gosh and by golly and trial and error.
How much does poor quality feed affect reproductive rates down the line?
Yeah, you know, it's all tied together. If poor quality feed means a cow can't put on weight and she stays thin, and it's the body conditions part that affects fertility, if she's still in an energy deficit situation, when she's gone out to pasture now and she's going to try and rebreed, that's going to make, she's had a calf and she's milking and she's going to try and rebreed. If she's still thin at that point, that's going to be delayed or not conceive at all. That's the hard part. Now the good part, if there is a good part to this, is that when we turn cows out, you know, end of May, June, I mean, that's the choicest grass we have. And so in many cases, some of those cows can make that up again, but many of them can't, especially if the younger cows or even the older cows that have kind of lost those incisor teeth, and they can't make it up, and those are the ones that usually show up open in the fall.
Okie doke. All right. Well, it's that time of year where we want to do all that and be good to the livestock. Jerry Stocka, NDSU Extension Livestock Stewardship Specialist. Hey, got a minute and a half to go here, so let's talk about 90 seconds worth. It's the end of the year, charitable giving. What's going on with the Cowboy Hall of Fame?
You know, we've had some changes at the Cowboy Hall of Fame. We've actually just recently tried to add a new position to help us do a little better focus on marketing and and selling raffle tickets and that sort of thing. But we've it's been a good year for the Cowboy Hall of Fame. We've done some things right, I think, and yet we've avoided some of the pitfalls associated with the pandemic. Rick Thompson, our executive director, does a great job out there. Our staff does a great job. Our president, our past president, Jim Chamley, was, I would call, a godsend to the Cowboy Hall of Fame, and I stepped into that role, but there's no way I can fill Jim Chamley's shoes. And we have a great board to work with. We've got great trustees, and it's just a class one organization. And I guess I would encourage people listening out there to join the Cowboy Hall of Fame, to come and be a part of the excitement that occurs with our annual meetings and different events going on throughout the year. And we're planning on an induction ceremony again sometime in June. And so it's a great group, great storytelling, stories that you've never heard before. And so, yeah, I'm very proud to be a part of that group, Mick.
And applaud the work you do for that, Jerry, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to voice that. Yeah, whether a lot fewer trips to Mindoro this year by a lot of people for sure. So
yep. Yeah, that's right.
Jump in. You got a Facebook page or a website?
Yes, there is a Facebook page for the North Dakota Cowboy Hall of Fame. If you just type in North Dakota Cowboy Hall of Fame, it'll show up on Facebook. We also have a website as well. So you either type in either one on your search engine and they'll come up.
When it comes time to do some charitable giving at the end or just, hey, get involved, let's do that. All righty. Thank you, Jerry Stocca, NDSU Extension Livestock Stewardship Specialist. Thank you for the visit.
Thank you so much, Mick. Bye-bye.
Have a good holiday. Thank you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you.
Bye-bye. Right back at you.